One of our Streamlink members from Scotland sent you an email today, and I wanted you to talk with us about this. This is about an old story that occurred in the 1930s. What did you think of that one?
Well, again, George, what people can't get around, he was talking about a giant that was in a stream in India, and this gentleman ran into him, and basically the link that he sent us, it wasn't a lot, as you know, but he said that it took the man months to recover. He was so disturbed by what he saw. That's pretty much it in an encapsulated version. But the point is that there are literally tens of thousands of people who run into giants, and I'm talking about, when I'm talking giants now, I'm not just talking about big guys like someone who's 7'6". To my definition of giant, they got to be at least 10 feet tall, okay? Now, 9 feet would probably send chills down most of our spines, but there are certain things that have to take place. I think that if you go through history, even like the front of my book, and by the way, George, the front of my book, those guys are in the Kashmir region of Afghanistan and Pakistan and India, kind of where all the mountains come together. And that was taken in 1910. My front of my book, for those of you who have never seen it, is Genesis 6. And I really want to make an informational suggestion. For those of you that are starting to see the availability of this stuff coming into play, in other words, more reports of these things, you need to understand, in my opinion, what's really going on. And the only place you can get the books is on the internet, stevequayle.com, or call tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. Stan and Holly are sleeping now, but 719-547-9100. 719-547-9100. And that's where you can also get my book, Long Walkers. And, George, we had the pilot who flew a dead giant out of Afghanistan several years ago on your show. I actually have his letter to me. He said he listened to Coast to Coast. He thought I was full of you-know-what. Then until he got ordered to fly, went out. And, by the way, since he went public with that, he's been given every quote-unquote, you know what kind of mission that, he's paying a price for telling us what he told us, okay? And he said, Steve, even if it costs me my career, I will come on, you know, again, Coast, and tell people what's really going on. Because again, George, this is a gentleman that is absolutely not a friend of a friend of a friend. He's a guy that flew it out. Even could tell me the pallet number, what the thing weighed, where they flew it, and how the spooks, meaning the intelligence people, came on the plane to take out any phones that might have cameras, any cameras. I mean, they went through their pockets and everything. So when people say, well, why don't people get pictures of these things or blah, blah, blah? Well, the bottom line is, the minute you do, is that the spooks, meaning intelligence or the FBI, somebody shows up to either threaten you. We've had listeners to your show that have unearthed giant skeletons where the head, the mandible to mandible, in the back of the skull is, the condyle to condyle is 24 inches, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The molars are the size of a fist. Now, these aren't Neanderthals, okay? And by the way, isn't it interesting? They're no longer in the tree of mankind's evolutionary background, but they're a whole separate species. The point is, every time that anything shows up, it absolutely, it is confiscated immediately. People don't realize this, but in the United States, there is the Native American Antiquities Act that automatically states that any bones found of any size are Native American artifacts. And I'm not talking about grave robbing Indian graves. I'm talking about even the Kennewick Man in Washington, which was considered a Native American artifact until the people that went to court proved it was an Irishman, okay? The point that I'm trying to make is that there is it's an ultimate secrecy. It's just like this. We all know about Roswell. We all know about the guys who were there, saw what they saw, written the books and everything. But you know, and I know, we still get people that say, oh, they're crazy. They believe in UFOs. No, we don't believe in UFOs. We just acknowledge that they exist. So when it comes to giants, we're dealing with the same thing. Whether it's 1930 or 33 in India, whether it's the gentleman in North Carolina, whether it's 100 or 200 or 2,000 encounters with something other than what's normal, whether it's Mothman, whether it's this, that, or the other thing. The thing is that if someone says, well, it isn't real because I don't believe it, whether they believe it or not doesn't make it real or not. It's just that they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is even even if you were to give them undeniable proof, then they try and explain around. Well, it's acromegaly. That's what I always get. Acromegaly is a disease like Andre the Giant suffered from, and some of the big guys that are tall suffer from. It's a debilitating disease, and ultimately they die in a very short time.
Do you think Goliath was a giant?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Bible talks about not only Goliath being a giant, but Og, the king of Bashan. Bashan, by the way, was the land of the giants. And I can tell you point blank that the argument is whether Og was 15 feet or 18 feet tall. Goliath is presumed to have been 9 feet to 12 feet. And by the way, the reason David cut his head off, most people don't know their Bible very well, but, you know, David and Goliath, and, you know, some people say, oh, it's just a figure of speech. No, they've actually found stuff dating from that period. And the thing that is interesting is that, remember when I sent you the link on the axes that were found?
I'm looking at them right now.
Right. And I said, you know, the U.S. military policy on giants is don't axe, don't tell. The point is that those axes were found in the area of Crete, and they're in a museum, but the whole basis of the oral tradition, written tradition of that part, is that there were giants in Crete. They're still believed to be labyrinths in which people have disappeared. I had I don't know if you call him Cretan, but a Cretan call me and say he heard me on your show the last time I was on talking about giants, and he said, I want you to know, we still have people that encounter these things in the grottos and caves on Crete. So the thing is that, you know, this program goes worldwide. So typically I will get emails from all over the world, and I mean all over the world, sometimes 100 emails from different countries saying, well, so-and-so saw something. And it's not people feeding off each other, okay? It's not hysteria. It's not grandstanding, because some of these people can provide information that I don't even talk about on Coast, okay? Because if I did, then people would just feed back to me the same stuff they've heard me say. So you have to have some form of a Rosetta Stone to test to see that the sightings or the encounters are real.
Some of these internet pictures that we've seen all over the place, Stephen, some of them look pretty darn provocative. I got to tell you that.
Right. And most of those have never shown up on my website because a lot of them are Photoshopped. Now, the one that isn't, you'll see a guy that he looks like in Australia, and he's kneeling, and on the wall, there's a giant skeleton that's kind of impregnated in the sediment. Do you know that one, George?
No, tell me about that.
Okay, it's interesting because Australia has a tradition of giants. I mean, just a tradition. And a lot of the biggest bones have been found there. I've even had Australians who own property in Australia call me and tell me that the equivalent of the Australian intelligence has come to them and taken the artifacts they found. You remember the caves, paintings of the Wajina? The Wajina are the guys who look like they're in robes with a space helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the bottom, the historical, what do you call it? The oral tradition of the natives, the Aborigines, and everything they talk about, that's the dream period. And the thing that's interesting is that so many of the artifacts, whether they're cave paintings, cave drawings, sand, whatever was chronicled in whatever medium, the thing that's fascinating is that, again, it doesn't matter if you're in Australia, it doesn't matter if you're in the Arctic, doesn't matter if you're in any part of the world, it's always the same story, that there were giants in those days. And people don't understand, there were giants both before the flood and after the flood.